We've been talking this week about mom being the best preschool teacher possible for the child and all the things that mom brings to the table as far as readiness skills for academic and socialization skills. We want to talk today about how mom keeps her sanity without drugs. How does that actually happen? Because it is a very challenging job.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, with the wife, the beautiful and talented Rosemary Barnes, and daughter my age, so we're good friends also, Tori Roberts, formerly Barnes. And if you can keep your sanity through the next 15 minutes to listen to this program, you're probably doing pretty good in your life, you know?
Wow, was that a shot at me? I think that was a shot at me. That was unbelievable.
Well, so the question is anybody sane in this room?
Have we kept our sanity? Question about me, and I know that's a reality. Well, I do want to talk about that because how did you do this, Rosemary, and how do you do this, Tori? Because I remember coming home and seeing that, yike, yes, you would hit the wall, and I'm all of a sudden taking two kids, Tori on her bicycle with her training wheels that she kept on until her senior year of high school, and the stroller and all these other things, and I'm watching this, and you just wanted him out of the house. Could I just have a minute? And I know I wanted to say to you, do you have any idea what I did today? But I think before you guys give us the answers here, one of the most valuable things you did for me was you went away to speak for 2.5 days. Actually, went away to speak for 2 days and 4.5 hours. And I remember watching out the window, when's she coming back? And I remember trying to line everything up and have everything programmed and have everybody busy all the time. And that worked for about 16 minutes. And I have never been more exhausted. Mm-hmm. It was one of those times when I did the prayer of the Pharisees. Praise God that I'm not a woman, because this is so hard to do. So how, you know, moms are listening to this week and they're hearing what we're saying. And I firmly believe that you both have taken the higher ground. And fortunately, in your scenarios, you were able to do that. For both you guys, it's been huge financial sacrifices, but you're able to raise the children and stay at home and be the primary teacher till the child goes off to kindergarten. And here was the interesting thing for me, just to add this. You wept when your children went out the door to kindergarten.
It was like, now medicate you.
When I would have thought when your children went out the door to kindergarten, all of South Florida could have heard a monster yippee. That finally, Tori is gone. Or whatever. But you didn't. You wept. And you went into a little thing. I mean, almost a depression as each child went out the door.
Almost as bad as when they went to college.
Well, that for me, that took me down.
Too.
I did have to sit actually with a counselor in September twice for getting past this thing. But how do you keep your sanity in this time?
Well, I don't really know.
The grace of God.
Yeah, that's right.
So basically, you were catatonic till they left.
I do think that realizing the gravity, first of all, knowing the purpose of what you're doing and the idea of the why before the what. And the why was my children is the priority next to my relationship with the Lord and my relationship with my husband. This is just the most important thing I'm going to do. And it's a season of my life. It's not going to last forever. And we realize when we're on this side of it and looking back that it goes very, very fast. And so, you know, that was the goal of this season of my life is I'm going to be everything that I can possibly be. But at the same time, honestly, knowing it is a rugged responsibility and it is tiring and it is mind-boggling, but going into that with a realistic expectation, knowing, okay, this is going to be really difficult and this is not a good week for me because of maybe other peripheral things that are going on in my life. So I need to think through this process and have a game plan for ways of dealing with those especially stressful weeks in the life of the children.
Yeah, I think one of the things for me has been on kind of the heels of that is just going in with the right attitude. Just not the attitude of, I'm going to survive this, but going in with the attitude of the goals of teaching and training. Because if you go in with the goals of teaching and training, you're looking for opportunities rather than just going through the drudgery of my day with a temper tantrum or, you know, it's just, it's going in with the right goals.
It's amazing. You know, Tori, I call you almost every day. We talk almost every day. I am amazed at how much watch you are laughing on the phone. And I'm hearing him in the background wanting this or getting that or touching this or pulling on the dog's ear or whatever. And you are laughing. Somehow, you know, that's where I was worried about drugs or something. You are constantly laughing. And that is a huge attitude issue. That's a choice you've made.
That's actually written down on my paper, choosing to laugh, and it starred.
Yes. You're there. You've done it. And that I marvel at. And your statement of realistic expectations. They're not going to know calculus by 3 years old. So the realistic expectation of just the little things, the spatial things and the color things and just triumphs.
And I think part of that choosing the right attitude and choosing to laugh and all that is also to be planned out with it. Not that you're going to overplan, especially with small children, but if you kind of have an idea, okay, Tori, for example, loves the holidays and, you know, seasons of life. And she had a whole sort of theme over the summer, and even her house was decorated in the summer theme, and then going into the fall and with the fall decorations and all that. And I think it's great to have themes of study. You know, think through, okay, we're about to head into the fall. So what a great opportunity to maybe, especially in South Florida, when our children don't experience what fall is like, maybe talking about the changing of the leaves and taking them to a park that might have a type of a plant that has different colors or whatever.
Somewhere in South Florida.
A dead tree. Go look for a dead tree.
There must be a tree. Or if not, take a spray can.
You can see the sanity long ago left here. But anyway, the point is, to get a plan going. Don't just go in there and say, okay, here I am in preschool with my children today. Think through, okay, the next 2 weeks, you know, it'd be great to look into this area and plan some activities around it, not just, you know, off the cuff all the time.
It's a highly academic word, but it's a real world here called curriculum.
Yeah.
Thinking up
lesson
your own
plans.
Little lesson plan or curriculum. What are we going to do this week? This week, we're going to focus on spider webs and teach everything from spider webs. And this week, you know, we're going to look at this. We're going to do everything with the color red and just have fun with that and bring that out in the child and be realistic about what we're going to do.
Yeah, Adam uses the word scheduled chaos because you have to be flexible.
It's
and
right.
It's, you know, when you see the spider web, you have to be able to use that.
You have to stop.
You have to stop. And it's scheduled chaos. I mean, yes, you may have a curriculum plan, but then your child may be having a really bad day and you need to focus on that. And pushing, let's learn about spiders, is just not going to be the moment for your child who's on the floor throwing a temper tantrum.
Right.
It's organized and flexible chaos.
Right. And that goes back to what you said is this is a choice that I've made. And why am I doing what I'm doing? And if you have chosen that I'm using these moments to really help my child be prepared for the school experience later on or whatever, then, you know, even the chaos makes sense. And there's purpose in it.
Mm-hmm. So the choice that you've made is to be the child's number one teacher. The choice that you've made is to not make sure we've learned something by such and such a time. Not that we've maintained this particular schedule and feel wonderful, triumphant. We got everything done today. The choice that we've made.
When does that happen?
Yes, yeah.
What does that look like?
The minute it was out of my mouth, I realized, sorry. So I think it's to realize this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to look for the ways to rejoice and be glad in it, that the spider web was the perfect time with the perfect dew on it to show the whatever. And, you know, Lord, here I am today. I don't want to miss. And so I think that's one of the things concerning keeping your sanity. I think there's another thing that I don't know that you guys would be able to bring up, but I want to bring it up, is helping your husband have realistic expectations during this era. I would remember coming home and you're exhausted and I'm excited to be home. And I know it's not going to be a date night, but maybe we're going to get the kids showered and in bed, and kids are in bed. And, you know, I've been out doing whatever and I shower and I have some romantic expectations for tonight. And I look over in the chair and you're sound asleep, drooling in the chair next to me.
And covered with glue and macaroni.
Yes. Yes. And I'm thinking, wow, that's just not what I expect. Ruthie just passed out and flipped back over the back of her chair. That's not what I expected for tonight. And end of the day, I could have come home, and you really helped me with this. And you were, it was pretty awesome because in the midst of all this, we were writing the book, Great Sexpectations. And in the process, writing the book, Great Sexpectations, I knew everything there was to know about marital sex until we had to write each chapter. And then I thought, I don't want to write this book anymore. I now know absolutely nothing about this. And we had to even get creative to go for rides in the car, to have talks on a legal pad about each chapter. And it was great when you said, you know, if you have romantic expectations tonight, then when you come home, I think you need to take over the children. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to allow me to get a bath and me to get a little nap and on and on. And then I had to decide, how
worth it is
this? Yeah, I didn't want to say it quite like that, but holy smokes.
Maybe
I could go celibate for a while. I don't know. When I just had a little piece of your world and realized it was helpful. But I think if we're not careful, and mom doesn't mean to do this, but what mom ends up doing is becoming fully a mom and not at all a woman. And mom, and this is you know, a little bit of a perversity, but she begins having an extramarital affair with motherhood. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, our relationship gets weird. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. And to be honest with you, as a man, I understand my biological needs. Mm-hmm. I don't understand your relational needs. And you need to have a conversation with somebody that can use words that have more than one syllable in them. And so, there, you know, what's the romance here? There's none. The kids are in bed and I'm staring at you and you're wondering what's okay. I got no nap, no nothing. And I have macaroni in my hair. So what's going to happen here? It is the great picture. I hate to go back to this movie in One Fine Day when they're sitting on the couch and she says, can I clean up first? Now, let me give the caveat to this. They're not married and it's sin what they're thinking about. But she goes to clean up and he falls asleep on the couch from being exhausted, taking care of the children that day. I think that to keep our sanity, one of the number one ways for us to keep our sanity is not only what you said, realistic expectations, but ongoing conversation between a man and a woman on this is what I had to do today. This is why I know Bobby didn't say anything when you walked in the house, but I saw you look at all the Tupperware all over everywhere. Your nonverbal look told it all for me. Mm. And so I think at the end of the day, this talking and this planning and this realistic expectation and deciding maybe we should have a date night Thursday night. And the date night Thursday night might mean that Thursday afternoon you get somebody to handle the children so you can get a nap. And then
even something I wanted to just touch on, just a very practical thing that kind of goes on the heels of this, is utilizing nap time. Your children usually have a built-in, hopefully, 2 to 3 hour span somewhere in your day where either you can get rested, you can get some of the house cleaned. Utilize that.
Right.
And don't just, I mean, it's so tempting to just sit down in front of the TV or just, you're so tired just to kind of veg. But if you don't utilize that to either take care of yourself or your house or, you know, knowing your personal needs, then you're not going to have time for your spouse.
Well, very well said.
And on the heels of that, Troy, I think another thing that's so pivotal, and this sounds very self-centered, and I don't want it to come across that way, but I think it's mandatory that moms have a time for me, you know, to figure out a time, if it's during the nap time, as you suggested, or a friend, you know, sending your children to play at one of your friend's home or something like that, a time where you can have a chance to be a woman. And that might mean preparing for a wonderful time with your husband on a date night that is just wonderfully romantic and just great.
Wow.
Anyway.
I'm ready to leave the studio. Where'd we go all of a sudden?
I'm leaving the studio right now.
Nothing a daughter ever wants to hear.
Anyway, but the point is, I think it's important to define what would really help me to relax for a block of time. And I don't think that's self-absorbed. I think that helps you to go back into the fray. I have a friend who is involved with a Bible study that I'm involved with, and she has, her night is Bible study night. And her husband, she says, this is absolutely non-negotiable for me. I have to be there. I've got to be with other women. I've got to be in the Word of God. I've got to be a part of that. And so that has become a very important time for her to regroup and reconnect with herself before the Lord.
And this is truly a great mommy of three little girls. But she just needs that moment. Could I just be a person?
Yeah.
That's a lot of communication, and that's a lot of staff meeting, and that's a lot of talking, where as the man, I come to understand the value of this, the importance of this, and come to figure out how to offer, make that possible. It's very, very, very significant that to keep sanity and to keep our sanity together, it's very significant that we understand there are some things and some communication that needs to take place and have some realistic expectations and realize that your marriage has to find a place in the middle of all of this.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes and Rosemary Barnes and Tori Roberts, formerly Barnes. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we're going to wrap up this conversation about what happens when mom and dad run preschool at their house. And that's tomorrow. If you want more resources on parenting, there are a lot of them online at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. And you can listen to this program again, share it with a fellow mom or dad, and even sign up for the daily email blog that you get that Tori writes, and even connect to the program in so many different ways. It's all online at parentingtoday.org. That's the landing site for all these programs and curriculum. That's parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for our Friday edition of Parenting Today.